Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good evening. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the Labor Day edition of the show. I was kind of debating that this morning. Should I do the show? Should I not do the show? And I thought, yeah, I need to do the show. I think I'm going to do the show today. I had this strong feeling that maybe it would be a good idea to do it. And I was discussing something with a friend of mine today. Well, a client, actually. Talking about marriage. She's been married, well, I won't point names out, but she's been married three times, I don't know, something like that. But I was thinking to myself, like, the question for the show is to marry or not to marry. And sometimes people are in relationships that go on for quite a while, and then the question is, should that relationship become a marriage relationship or not? So I have some articles that I'm going to kind of twist and turn around a little bit to kind of look at it from a certain perspective. Okay, if this is going on in your relationship, then maybe marriage is not where you need to be going, one side or the other. I mean, either yourself or the other person, is this their point of view or your point of view? And maybe marriage is not the thing to do. I have some articles on different subjects, and I thought I would just bounce around a little bit. Not sure how many people are going to call in or how many calls I have today because of everybody having out there enjoying the end of summer. So I thought I'd do a couple quotes and go from there. And I thought, as everyone knows by now in the spiritual community, Dr. Wayne Dyer passed recently, went through his transition. So I had a couple Dr. Wayne Dyer quotes for you. And I have an Abraham quote, and then we'll get in some articles. And I wanted to talk about religious freedom a little bit. Where are the boundaries of religious freedom, right? So let me give you a Dr. Dyer quote. You create your thoughts. Your thoughts create your intentions. And your intentions create your reality. Now, that's kind of the law of attraction, right? You have these thoughts. Sometimes we don't even think we create our thoughts, though, do we? Our thoughts just come in from somewhere, like, oh, where did that thought come from, right? So you create your thoughts. Your thoughts create your intentions, right? What you think is what you're planning on doing. Hopefully, a lot of times you don't follow through on it, but it's your intention to do so. You may not do it. So your intentions create a reality. So you take your intentions and go, okay, I'm going to do this today, right? So thoughts create reality is basically what he was saying. Another Dr. Dyer quote, I thought it would be good for you. It was from the Power of Intention calendar for 2015 on Friday, September 4th. Look in the mirror at least once every day. Give thanks for the heart that continues to beat and the invisible force on which those heartbeats depend. I like that last part, that invisible force. Okay? Okay, so I have some Abraham quotes. I have some articles. We'll talk about I want to talk about relationships today. I mean, maybe you have relationship questions or issues that you want to talk about. Not about when it's going to happen, am I ever going to be in a relationship, but more about perhaps as an empath, for me it's reading the other person or reading you and what your soul wants you to do or what's really going on inside you as to what you want. Reading you. And sometimes when somebody reads you, like an empath, an intuitive empath is reading somebody, you get a little bit more insight into, yeah, that's right. That's who I am. Yeah, okay, that's what I need to do. So that's what I do. As an intuitive, I just came up with that expression, an intuitive empath. No, I actually thought about it the other day. So let me give you another quote. And if you want to get in on this discussion about relationships, if you want to get in this on this discussion of, you know, just about you, whatever questions you have about yourself, what's going on in your life, what's in the future, what you're creating, I've been doing this psychic work for, I don't know, most of my life at some level. A lot of it, my life, I didn't know what I was saying to people, but it just came out anyway, right? It's just the channel. And as a psychic, I found that a lot of people want to know the future. They want to know what's going to happen, which is very understandable. Very understandable. What's going to happen in my future? But then as I studied the law of attraction, I came to understand or comprehend that we create our future. But I'll back that up a little bit. So you want to know what the future is. You don't want to know what's going to happen and when it might happen. But you've already put it out there. You've been asking for a long time for whatever it is. And the universe is aligning that for you. God, the universe. I call it source energy. I'm really tied into the concept of source energy. The source energy is aligning that for you. And there is a time frame involved in that. You know, it could be a month, it could be 6 months, it could be a year. Because you put it out there. It's really important because you can't cause a problem with timing. Your resistance, your doubting, your lack of faith in what you want happening pushes the time back, causes it. So if somebody like myself gives you a time frame, the key thing is, yeah, that's right. That feels good. I can accept that. That's a good time frame. Yeah, I'm gonna put my energy into that. I'm gonna believe that. A month from now, cool, very good. I'm gonna get a job in a month, and then just gonna buy into it. But those a little bit about trust, isn't it? Trusting that the message you get has a reasonableness to it. I know I used to get people that were out of jobs for a couple of years. And suddenly you tell them, oh, next month you're going to get a job. And it's like, yeah, they wanted to believe that. They wanted to accept that concept. But some of what they're thinking about is, no, that can't happen. I've been out of job for 2 years. That can't happen. Now, it's there. The universe is aligning it. But now they put it off by not accepting that concept. So let me get in a couple quotes. We'll get into these articles about, I thought they're a really interesting way of looking at it. From if you go through these signals, go through these thoughts about a relationship, and are you ready for marriage if this applies to you kind of situation? But you can call in and talk about what you want to talk about. And I want to talk about maybe if I have some time left about religious freedom. I talked a little bit about the situation in Kentucky, but there was another one that came up with a flight attendant out of Detroit. And we can talk about that if you want. But let me do this Abraham quote first. From the physical perspective, most of you believe that your beliefs are the right ones. And if you disagree with someone, they must be wrong. But from the non-physical standpoint, it is not seen as right and wrong. It is seen as powerful diversity that stimulates thought. And from the non-physical perspective, you enjoy that diversity. Now, how does that tie to relationships? Can we talk about relationships and getting married or not getting married? If your beliefs are different than your partner's beliefs, does that make you right or does that make them right? Or is that just that diversity that you have something to discuss and something to work towards common agreement on? It should be that. Just say, hey, let's work towards agreements. And diversity, if you have such diversity and you have such a disagreements and you can't accept it and you just kind of like, I'm done, then marriage is not for you, right? Marriage is just not for you and that other person. Okay. Yeah, my friend that I was talking about when I first started the show, married a number of times, and my opinion was, or what I got from Spirit is, maybe you need to evaluate your life and say, you know, maybe marriage is not my thing. Being in that state of marriage is not my thing. I know a little bit more about the circumstances, and I won't get into all that. But for the third time, they've been together for over a year, and there was always this question of getting married. Am I going to marry him? You know, psychic. Am I going to marry him? And now they've been married for less than a month, and there's this backpedaling on the marriage. Find that kind of interesting, don't you? you can have this on-off kind of, should I marry him, shouldn't I marry him, should I marry him, shouldn't I marry him, I'm going to get married. And I would say that, and as I mentioned, this person, well, perhaps you married for the wrong reasons, but that's, yeah, interesting. So, not going to talk about orgasms. I might talk about orgasms if you want a quiz on orgasms, see how much you know. So, less than the first one I'm going to do. 6 signals your relationship is out of balance. Now, how am I going to tie this in? Now, I'm going from the assumption that the person's not married yet to this person, right? But what if you are? Is marriage right for you in this situation? Okay, so evaluating yourself and the other person, it is often said that life is about balance. It stands to reason, therefore, that relationships must also need balance. Of course, occasionally even the best of relationships may lack it. However, it is a continued status of extremes that then a union may lack prolonged success. Relationships are a marathon and not a sprint. Like I was trying to tell my friend, you know, if you're married, if you get married, you should look long term here. You should look at working through it and focus on working on it or developing it or getting past all these disagreements, right? Because relationships are a marathon. Marriages you don't go into lightly, well, we can end it in a week or a month or a year, right? We want to go in there with an intention of making it long term. One partner doesn't constantly consume the other or the team will lose. It is impossible to play a baseball game alone. Each player must take their unique position and possess a team mentality. The field must be balanced. If your relationship is unbalanced, stop believing that you are taking one for the team. Quite the contrary, you may really be benching yourself in the game of relationships. Here are 6 signals that your relationship is out of balance. Now, this is really important. This is something you can look at before you get married. You know, you've been dating this person for a while. And this is what the articles are based on. This, I'm taking these articles from the perspective of you haven't made that marriage. You haven't gotten married yet, but you're looking at the relationship. And perhaps these are things to work on, or maybe it's just not the right person, right? Solving significant others' problems. Significant others' problems. You spend a tremendous amount of your time solving your significant other's problems. Your partner's problems, that's easier to say. It is a luxury permitted by relationship that one occasionally has another to lean on and solve their own problem. However, problem solving for a spouse should be the exception and not the rule. Why? All adults should accept responsibility for themselves and therefore readily accept most of their own problem-solving needs. For a relationship to be balanced, both individuals should remain equals and not slip into roles. It is crucial to avoid the roles of the rescuer and the rescued, or the problem maker and the problem solver. You ever know any people like that? One person's always having problems and you're always rescuing them. Problem solver. Solving the other. So if you slip into a pattern when you're dating or starting to, you know, be serious with somebody, if that pattern is coming, problems, or you're expecting somebody to solve your problems, this relationship's not going to work. Because especially the person who's being asked to solve the problems is going to tire of the situation, is going to get burned out. Because their needs are not being met. They're giving too much to the other person. So are you in that kind of relationship, even before you get married? That's a little red flag, I guess, for getting married. And that's why I say to marry or not to marry. And these are like red flags you might want to look at and say, okay, this has gone over the board. This one's gone overboard. I know, today is Monday and it's Labor Day, and I know you folks are out doing something today, so bear with me, and if call in if you want, but this is really interesting information. I think it's interesting information. So let's go through some of it. Losing yourself. Are you gaining weight, losing energy, and losing interest in the things you once loved? Another sign of imbalance in a relationship is drastic changes or departures from what you are as an individual. One person feeling that they are carrying the majority of needs or burdens in a relationship can lead to externalizing that extreme, and it's becoming out in different ways, shapes, and forms. It could be weight gain. It could be a subtle loss in energy from feeling overwhelmed. It could be less interest in hobbies, entertaining, or things that take extra effort. So is this happening to you? Let me finish the article, this section, but think about it. In a relationship, are you out of balance? Really? Imbalance in a relationship. If you're feeling you're carrying the majority of the needs or burdens in a relationship, it can lead to this internalizing, which can play itself out. It is less of a focus on one because the other individual is preoccupying most of the relationship energy. So is it a balanced energy? Or is one person sucking the energy in a relationship and the other one's just getting worn out, gaining weight, trying to compensate for the energy of the relationship being sucked out of them? Well, we call that energy vampires or psychic vampires, right? So is that happening in your relationship? Or is that happening in your marriage? Now, in a marriage is a different situation, because I'm talking about earlier, marriages are something that we need to commit for a long term. And especially if you're in a newer marriage, you need to work on this. You need to have somebody sit down with the both of you and discuss these things, right? Consuming behavior. I'm going to check back and forth and see if anybody wants to call in and talk about any particular thing. And we'll get back to the articles. Okay? Consuming behavior. Spouse's behavior is so consuming that it's taking the focus off you and the rest of the family. No relationship should ever evoke or evolve around just one human being. However, surprisingly more common than one should would think. Nevertheless, to say it is counterintuitive to the concept of a relationship. Individuals who are demanding, controlling, or difficult communicators make it clear that they come first in a relationship. Yeah, it's like that expression, he never talks to me or she never talks to me. It's mostly he, but you know, we'll give it the benefit of the doubt. They don't communicate what their needs are. They don't communicate what they want. They don't communicate. They just figure I know what they want, right? Or they control. It's not compromise, it's control and demanding. It's just this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be, without discussion. If you're in a relationship and you're headed towards marriage and you see this one, this is a big red flag, and you should say to yourself, wait a minute, we either got to work on this one or I can't be part of this. And it's an overt and obvious imbalance to be in a relationship with someone who consumes the entire relationship focus. And it does happen. Their priorities are the priorities, right? Their priorities is all there is. What's the next one? Oh, self-response. Are you remaining self-responsible while the person you are married to is not, or in a relationship is not? This is a relationship with someone who needs to be prodded or reminded about basic responsibilities of day-to-day life or the required maintenance of the relationship. This is also an obvious imbalance. So if you're getting yourself into a relationship and you see these signs, if one of the partners is mature and self-responsible and the other is more immature and lacking of self-responsibility, yeah, you can't always be reminding somebody to do something. You have agreements and they don't do it. Then it knocks the relationship out of balance. It is not an equal partnership. One must constantly be reminded to pick up the milk, go to the store, pay the bills, get something on time, watch the family, the children, take the dog out, take the trash out. It becomes a parent-child relationship. So think about your relationships with somebody. And you're not married yet, but is it becoming like you're the parent of this person? Ooh, that's not good. That's not why you're not a parent. Right? Some women marry men or get in relationships with men because they see a father figure. Well, that's wrong, because then they've turned that role over and given responsibility to the other person for the things that they're lacking in their lives, and that doesn't work. This generally involves the individual with lack self responsibility labeling the other partner as a nag, and self responsible individual becomes an overtalker, a yeller, and the frustration of overcompensating a single mature responsible member of the relationship. Very fascinating stuff, I think. You guys could think, where is he going with here with this? But let's go on to the next one. The next one, and I'm checking back and forth to see if you guys want to talk about anything. If you're listening with me, and these are really good signs, and I emphasize today, this is stuff that you look at before you get married. Because, you get in a relationship, especially if it's a new relationship and it's going through that honeymoon stage and you're 3 or 4 months into a relationship, are you falling into these patterns? And you got to notice these patterns. Because you don't want it to continue on. Can you head them off? Selflessness. Your household now revolves around the behavior or interests of a significant other. It's not the 1950s anymore. When it was announced, Dad is home, and the children were ushered to a quiet dinner. And dinner was on the table while Dad chilled out from a hard day. Why? Because it's now widely recognized. Excuse me. That, in fact, it is equally hard to stay home with the children. And most of the time, women have it tough because they go out in the workplace. Then they have to become home, and they have their responsibilities. Now, how's your relationship that way, right? Or you're even in a partnership. You're not even married yet. And it's out of balance. You come home, or you're living together, or one is expected to do all these things while the other just kind of cruises it, right? No responsibilities, not equal responsibilities. A relationship should also not be centered around just the interests, likes and dislikes, or habits of just one of the spouses. A relationship should be a combination of the best of two people. It is not balanced or selfless for one individual to disappear. It is actually a selfish personality that would let another to diminish so that they can thrive. So does your partner take advantage of you? Is it about your partner? Your partner only wants to watch sports, kinds of movies, or do certain kinds of things, and your needs are ignored. The things that you love to do, are they ignored? That's not a healthy relationship. You're out of balance. And before you get married, think about it. Do I really want to be in this situation? Because you get married, it doesn't mean it changes. Marriage is not that magic thing that happens where suddenly people become different and they change and they become enlightened and they become white knights. Actually, the opposite is the case. If you're familiar with marriages, it dissolves. A lot of that chivalry and a lot of that respect dissolves in a marriage. Anybody disagree with that? I mean, if you disagree, please tell me. I'd love to hear your opinions on this. But I'm just going from an article, and I see it in people, and I've talked to people, and I've done readings for people where this is the case. Okay, moving right along. How much time do we have? Oh, we have lots of time, so you want to call in. Doing it all. You're the only one in a relationship working on both the relationship and the family. This statement alone is a blatant reference to a lack of balance. Two individuals should both care about the health, well-being, and the direction of their union. And that's even in a couple that's not even getting married yet or going towards marriage. Are you both concerned about the well-being and the direction of your union? To qualify, they are, in fact, at times they may, one or the other spouse is unwilling or unable to put in the time or effort that the partnership needs. However, if it is a prolonged pattern of lack of interest in working together as a team, then the relationship, then the relationship is and will remain unbalanced. Both parties should care enough to be invested in the partnership. No more one-sided things. It's, even if you're dating, and I'm taking this to extreme, does one person communicate while the other person doesn't? Is one person willing to communicate and talk about it or make arrangements or plan things or do things while the other person just expects the other person to do everything? Carry the full burden of the relationship, right? That's a relationship that's not in balance, and that relationship will actually fail at some point. Okay? Okay, moving right along. I think we have a couple more points here. I think we have one more point. Yes. Are you a team player? I like this next one. Because relationships are like a team, especially when you're dating somebody and one or the other has children already. Then there becomes more of a family dynamic. And is one person so selfish that they try to pull the other away from their responsibilities? It's about me. It's about what we need to do, right? Okay, so let me finish this article. If you're in a relationship and playing all the players' positions, and perhaps maybe you have never really been in a relationship at all, it is logistically impossible to be the pitcher, the batter, and the outfielder, and more. The game should have to be forfeited because all of your players did not show up. If you are overcompensating because you're the only one person in the relationship that's showing up to the game, it's time to realize you can't win with zero balance. The reality is that you are playing too many positions, and that you will cause you to lose sight of yourself. And I think most of us get this. You know, we get this in a relationship. Are you doing everything? Are you doing everything? Are you the social director? Are you the meal planner? Are you the housekeeper? Are you the bill payer? Are you this? Are you that? Well, the other person, and this doesn't necessarily mean marriage, because a lot of people live together and are thinking about getting married or planning on getting married. And the question is, if you're in that environment and you're thinking seriously about being married, well, wait about it. The reality is that if you are playing too many positions, and this will cause you to lose sight of yourself, and you will no longer be able to even play your intrinsic position well any longer. So what are you good at? And what's your partner good at? Are you bringing both what aspects of each other to the relationship? I'm thinking about, and I've heard this before, you know, men saying, well, I don't know, what do you want me to do? Going in a relationship, you should know what you want to do. You know, you should know what your responsibilities are. That should be clarified early before you get to that place where, I don't know, what do you want from me? That really should never be brought up in a relationship. What do you think? What do you want from me? Should never come up in a relationship, because you should know that ahead of time. This is what you're expected of you. This is what your talents, if you're a financially responsible individual and are really good about paying the bills, and maybe that's what you want to agree on, right? What do you want from me? That's a tough one, right? Okay, so I know you guys are listening, but what do you think? Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments on another subject? You want to go off on another tangent completely? Please do. I'm going to shift gears, and that's that article. I have a couple other articles kind of related to this. Well, one would be 5 signs that you're in a relationship built to last. That's an interesting thought. But let me get into this other article from WebMD. Could all work and no play hurt your health? Now, I thought about this in terms of a relationship, and I'll try to twist it around a little bit. Type A workaholic, burning the candle at both ends, married to the job. if any of these of those describe your approach to your career, you're letting those vacation days pile up. You may be setting yourself up for some serious health problems. A recent study from the University College in London, for instance, linked working long hours to stroke risk. Researchers looked at the data for more than 600,000 people and found that those who worked more than 55 hours per week had nearly a 33% higher risk of stroke than those who worked the normal 40-hour week. The study also showed that 13% increased risk for heart attack. But a big problem remains. Why might working so much be bad for us? Stress may be the major factor, says Charles Reeson, MD, professor of psychiatry for the University of Wisconsin. Okay, let me back up. Let me go before I go too much more into this article about working too much. Because working too much is not necessarily about the money. Working too much is being dedicated to the job. And sometimes it's not even being demanded of the person that they work so much. And if they're being demanded to work so much, then they have a problem with the employer, right? And employers need to realize that that working somebody 60 hours a week, 50 hours a week, is not healthy for them for extended period of time. I mean, there are emergencies. And I was in accounting, you know, during closing of the books, we would work more. For certain times of the year, we would work more. But certain times of the year, it was kind of like back to the normal 40 hours a week, right? Is your employer expecting you to work too much? Work more than 40 hours, work 50 hours, 60 hours a week. And you can see by going through this article what it does. But in some cases, it's people just being very selfish. It's about them. They're a workaholic. That's all they want to do is work. But in a relationship, let's get back to this whole relationship thing. First of all, you're not putting the time into a relationship, are you? If you're spending so much time at work, you're not putting putting time into the relationship. So you're asking the other person to carry the burden of the relationship and the things that need to be done in a relationship. But also, and this is an interesting point that just came to me, is the idea you're being very selfish about your health because you're saying, I want to go into a relationship, but you're putting your health at jeopardy. And that's very selfish, as in going into a relationship. You're not caring for the relationship by being unhealthy or doing the things that cause you to be unhealthy. So back into the article. Let me see what you guys are doing. Let's see if there's anything, any questions, any thoughts, any comments on this. Has anybody been expected to work that many hours? I did from time to time. I was in the auto industry, and we had to work long hours at times. And you miss things, you know, you miss things. You missed parts of the relationship because of the hours. But the key of this article is not so much what you're missing in the relationship, but it's also your health. You're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. Let's get back into the article of the stress of working so many hours and what it does for your health, because I thought this was really interesting. And again, can we get employers to realize this? I think we can, if enough people. It's a time for us to think, maybe it's time as a group to have our employers look at this. If you're got ongoing stress, the body begins to accommodate that chronic stress, and most of the effects none of the effects are good. The mental tension and worry has both physical and mental effects, says Ralph Scurio, MD, a neurologist and past president of the American Heart Association. One of the biggest things we know is that people who are stressed, whether it's individual family stress, economic stress, or social stress, can increase blood pressure and their risk of heart disease and stroke. It is also increased risk of depression, and depression itself can lead to stroke and heart disease. In fact, some workplace stress may be as bad for us as secondhand tobacco smoke. according to a recent analysis of more than 200 studies done by the Harvard Business School and Stanford University. The analysis looked at 10 workplace stressors, including work-family conflict, job insecurity, and lack of perceived fairness by companies. It measured how these things affect a person's self-rated poor physical and mental health. Okay, so we're going to get into a little bit of that. I don't want to read too much more of this article, but I thought this was really fascinating, what overworking can do to your health. Tips to unplug. Is this page 2? I think this is page 2. Yeah, page 2. Tips to unplug. So what to do, particularly if you don't feel you can work fewer hours per week. The answer may be as simple as those days off you might not be using. Okay? Days off that you might not be using. I recommend taking all of your vacation days, Reeson says. Even short vacations can have benefits, according to a 2011 study. Researchers found that workers reported a boost in health and well-being during short vacations, saying they felt. Now, this means take the vacation. I could get into the whole article and I might go through it depending on how much time we have left. But that means take the vacation. Make it a vacation. If you have 3 days off, you in the chat room said teachers, if you have 3 days off as a teacher, like a long weekend, right? Monday's off. Okay, what are you going to do? Do you take your work home with you? Do you take business calls and cell phone calls related to your work? Or do you take the vacation? Do you go away? Leave the cell phone at home. Don't check emails. That's what they're talking about. You completely separate yourself from your job. You don't take calls from supervisors. You don't take emails from supervisors. You don't answer problems and questions on your time off. You get away. The article gets into that a little bit more. But that is so important. It's detaching yourself from your job. Unfortunately, those benefits can be short-lived once we return to work, studies have shown. So taking time for vacations throughout the year is important, along with seizing opportunities for breaks, a Finnish researchers concluded in 2012. Whether regular getaways can improve your overall health remains to be seen, but many studies have linked reductions of stress with better health. And just hopping in a car or on the phone won't do that trick. Don't forget to take time to give your mind a rest while you're on vacation too. It's so important for at least a number of days, those days, to get off of the cell phones. No texting, no emails, he says. Ooh, can you do that? Can you detach yourself from problems when you go on vacation? Not doing this can be actually worse sometimes than being at work, because you see a problem and you can't do anything about it. So you don't want to hear about the problems back at the office or at the school or with parents or kids or anything else if you're a teacher, right? You want to separate yourself from it. Almost 40% of people say they don't take vacation time as they have, according to a 2014 report by the U.S. Travel Association, because they feel the company would be in trouble without them. No, they won't. Or because they could come back to a mountain of work. Oh, well, it's there, right? It'll be there. The Association report included feedback from focus groups in the survey of 1,300 U.S. workers. Yeah, I don't want to take a vacation because when you get it back, it's going to be such a mess and I'm going to have to go all these hours and I'll just make it up. So why should I go on vacation? No, go away. And you have to trust that other people can do your job. You have to trust that you're not such, we want to be really, really important in our jobs, but they can manage without us for a few days, right? Now, if your whole system is shutting down, like teachers to shut down the school for a few days, that's a great advantage because you're not you don't have those same problems, but you can't communicate problems. You can't dwell with problems. So teachers do it all the time. I like that. Teachers do it all the time. But teachers have opportunities to escape. and de-stress. Okay, at least they should take that opportunity to de-stress. I'm running out of time here, but this has gone rather quickly, hasn't it? The next one is taking breathers during the day. While physically getting away can be good, you can still take a relaxation breaks, say at home after work, regardless of your job environment. Okay, so not bringing home work home, not bringing your work home, not sitting in your bed at 10 o'clock at night working. Now, that's not getting away from the stress of work, right? It's leaving it at the office, leaving it at the school, leaving it somewhere. Many people find that meditation and brief periods can be a way to take a break. So you need to debrief sometimes. You need to breathe after work and do something like take a yoga class, right? Exercise class, take a meditation class, do something that gives you a break from work, to separate you from the stress of work, to do something, go for a walk in nature. Well, I think they get into this. Taking a walk can be like a mini vacation, right? Going someplace, going into nature, just taking a walk, no cell phone, no texting, no emails, and just take a break. Okay, and then they recommend that you go to a doctor on occasion just to make sure that your heart and your blood pressure is in a good place and that your cholesterol levels in a good place. So that bottom line, you're de-stressing. You're not taking your job with you, and you're taking your time off. Okay. Interesting article. And how does that affect relationships? Well, it's hard to be in a really good relationship when you're stressed out all the time, and you're expecting your partner to do everything to make up for and compensate for you being stressed out, for you being overworked. So reevaluate yourself. And so if you're getting into a relationship with somebody who seems to be a workaholic, that working all the time, that's not comfortable. That's not going to work. I have clients like that who was always asking me, you know, is this going to work out with my partner? And the comment was, well, this person works 60 hours a week. He's always at his job. I want to go away. I want to do things. I want to get away from my job. I want to take these little mini vacations. I want to take these weekends off. I want to go to dinner. And he's always working. It won't work. It won't work. We're talking about marriage. So that relationship did not work out. That relationship fell apart because there's no balance between the needs of the two individuals. So if you're a workaholic, look at your life, because if the article is talking about, you may be ruining your health by being a workaholic, because you're not de-stressing. You're not taking time to de-stress. And how does that affect your relationship? What's it doing to your relationship? Especially if you plan on getting married to somebody who's a workaholic. Never there. They're always breaking appointments. So I got to work tonight. I got to work tonight. You know, I have about a minute and a half for the show. So if you want to call in, I see I have a caller. You can make it a 30-second call if you want to do that. Less than a minute or thereabout. Okay. So it's going to be a quick answer if you have a question. Hello.
Hi, how are you? I wanted to see if maybe if you see some love coming in my life or anything like that.
Okay, who am I speaking to?
My name is Candace.
Candace, well, of course. Now, the reason I come from this perspective, and I talked about them in the early part of the show, is being a psychic, but also being a practitioner of the law of attraction. If you've been asking
exactly.
The universe for something, it's going to be there. But I always ask people, what's holding it back from you?
Mm.
It's a timing issue. Oh. I can give you a time frame, but you better be ready for it. You know what I mean
okay.
by that? No resistance to it.
Yeah.
November.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hear November.
Oh, wow.
But are you ready? Are you ready for it?
Actually, been open to starting back dating and everything like that again and stuff like that. And
okay.
So I've been open to it, so I am ready for it. Like,
also, I only got a few seconds, but I make this real quick point: is what being ready for it also means that you put the past behind you, and you're not looking for again or focusing on what didn't work, but you're always looking for what you think, what you believe will work.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't want her to repeat bad patterns.
No.
I call it the same man, different skin. Well, you will get somebody. You absolutely will, okay?
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I will be back. Oops. I will be back. Oh, no. Ah. Whoa. That was a startling.